A new, exciting, open-source blockchain platform has been born. Its core mission is to develop easier and more affordable tools for everyone to be able to create tokens and NFTs. For the first time, we're introducing the innovative Tokl platform, a fully decentralized, community-driven project with contributors globally. It offers many new powerful features for artists, content creators, and event organizers and token owners. Tokl is building the future of tokenization together with the help of Komodo Technologies. Creators and users have the freedom to create, to hold, buy, sell, and trade tokens with ease. Developers have the freedom to build on top of the platform's layer. Tokl has features such as simplified token creation tools, token decks, and NFT marketplace. The NFT creation process has an extremely low barrier to entry. Businesses and individuals can now benefit from the token economy by using tokens in everyday life. A built-in decentralized exchange enables peer-to-peer trading. Tokl.io, the future of tokenization to NFT and beyond.
Greetings! I'm E. Giuliano, and it's Tuesday, the 25th of January, 2022. It's time for Tokl Talk. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about building the future with NFTs and DAOs. We'll be digging in with Brian. I'm pleased to have Brian on our show today. He's the founder and CEO of Cherubim Labs, the venture development studio behind Cherub's DAO. We also have some familiar faces and voices around here. We have Kelsey, Eleni, and Nutella, and of course Dream Team from the Tokl team. And behind the scenes, we have Cax making sure that everything is running smoothly. So thank you for being here, whether you're listening live or recorded after the fact. We've been getting a lot of downloads, increasing downloads on the podcast. So if you're new to the show, thank you so much for listening, and we hope that it's of value to you and you keep coming back for more. So I just want to say hello to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing, Giovanni? Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you very much for being here. And I'd like to, before we get started, you know, the markets are beat down, but NFTs are still raging with fandom. We have some stats, some general stats from the website nftstats.com. So just some general stats going on here. The number of NFTs sold in the last 24 hours is over 70,000, 72,000 NFTs. And the trading volume over the last 24 hours is over $140 million. Some of the top NFT collection rankings. We have CryptoPunks. We have Bored Ape Yacht Club in the second. The third is Killer GF. Apparently, that's new. We also have Azuki in fourth. The fifth spot has Mutant Ape Yacht Club. And the sixth spot with Creeps Genesis. Seventh spot has Metroverse. Eighth spot has Creeps Reptile Armory. Ninth spot has Mecha Apes Game by Oogaverse. And the 10th spot has Hape Prime. So those are some general stats from nftstats.com. None of this is particularly endorsed by Tokl team. But I'm just trying to share with you some of the things that are going on now in the NFT world. But this podcast, this show is more about a bit deeper than just the NFTs themselves. We're going really deep into tokens and NFTs and the communities that are related to them. So if you want to join as a guest in a future episode, we've set up an application form on the website at tokl.io/tokltalk. So you can please reach out that way. And if you want to join the community and provide any feedback around the episode, or, yeah, just join the community of Tokl and start interacting with the Tokl platform, then join the Tokl Discord. All right. Well, That's about it for the introduction. I'm going to bring in Brian again and ask you, Brian, what do you think about all this NFT activity going on?
Oh, it's fascinating to me. I love the primitive of NFTs, and I think we're just scratching the surface. It's been incredible to see how mainstream NFTs have gone and how it's attracting people outside of the pure financial wizardry of crypto into more mainstream audiences, bringing in even high-profile celebrities and sports celebrities and superstar athletes to the mix. And the amount of creativity that is out there is beautiful from the art perspective and fascinating from some of the mechanisms that are going beyond behind these NFTs. So we're in the very early innings of it. It's wonderful to see the rapid adoption of it. And I think it is an onboarding mechanism for mainstream to come into the crypto market. But I also think that we're going to be able to do things that we currently can't even imagine with the NFT primitive.
I'd like to hear that. That sounds exciting for sure. Kelsey, what do you think about all of what's going on? You've been doing a lot of minting of NFTs for Tokel platform to provide to the Tokelists and other people as well. What do you think about the heat and the fervor around the NFT space?
So recently I've come to realize that when people are seeking out, you know, the world of NFTs, they've come to expect more than just like a digital asset. They're looking for a community, you know, to gain a sense of belonging to. And without this community, you know, like these ideas really can't come into fruition. So, you know, like we're always thinking of ways to make our community happy. And the community means a lot to us because without the community, really, we would not have any success. One thing too, with all these newcomers and this sense of community support, I've been thinking a lot about education. You know, like we want to have more useful knowledge and offer guidance and support, you know, like crypto lessons and general education on blockchain technology, I think.
And, you know, Brian, at any point, just jump on in if you have any questions or you want to add on to anything anyone else is saying, okay?
Absolutely, yeah. You completely agree on the community and sense of belonging. You know, what's really driving the value and the adoption and the excitement around core NFT projects really is that sense of belonging. People want to be part of it. And again, I think we're scratching the surface on it. Some of it's just because it's cool art or a cool group of people, or it opens up some things that you can be part of an exclusive club. But I think we're going to start seeing mission-driven NFT platforms. We're certainly trying to be one. And the reason I say that is the NFT is such a visible object. You can share it and promote it socially. So if it signifies some sort of mission or, you know, cultural statement that your group or your community wants to make, I mean, you're very public about it. You're kind of painting your digital soul with this community that you belong to and making it visible to everybody. So those are some of the early things that we're starting to see. And the number of projects that are out there that are pursuing a variety of different missions are really fascinating me as well.
Nice. Yeah. Lenny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. So at any point, you also feel free to jump in. Lenny is joining us. He's working with the Tokel team doing all kinds of development stuff. And we're very happy to have you here today, Lenny. So at any point, just jump on in, okay?
Sounds good.
Awesome. So, but with that, Kelsey, it sounds like it looks like you want to say something, and then I'm going to move on.
I wanted to mention this really interesting use case for NFTs that I found, which actually came along in 2019 from a company called PO8, which is an oceanography and marine salvage company. And what they do is they tokenize recovered artifacts on the blockchain. And then they create an immutable provenance record embedded into each smart contract token. And then that way, people from that nation, they can actually own a part of their underwater heritage, which I think is just such an awesome use case.
Yeah.
But this is just the beginning of many things to come, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like Brian said, I'm glad you brought up that point, that because this brings us to where we're going with the discussion is use cases, and particularly the type of use case that Brian is pushing forwards. So yeah, Kelsey, that's a great example, and that's quite fascinating, and it does show the creativity. Yeah, go on.
I do want to congratulate you guys on your grant too. I was reading the news about the Solana grant. If you guys want to like talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to totally get into that. So let's do that. Brian, why don't you give us a little bit of a background, Cherub's DAO, a little bit about yourself, if you like, and anything else you feel might be relevant for us to hear.
Yeah, briefly, and we can dive down in any level of detail that's interesting for the audience. But I'm a serial entrepreneur in software. I've done multiple startups and love building new businesses and new projects on new platforms. I've done it through more than I can remember right now, with Web 1, Web 2, and mobile. So blockchain and crypto obviously is a natural new platform to build on. And I always question, like, what can you do with this that you couldn't do before, and what are the possibilities? And for me, it was these crypto economic systems were, really powerful new ways digitally to bring global communities and capital together for missions and causes. And so that's what got me excited about it. And beautiful. my mission and cause is driven off of accelerating cures to complex diseases. Really driven from a desire to do this in a hurry for my youngest daughter, who has Down syndrome, and the not the cure Down syndrome, but the population of people with Down syndrome are just for a variety of reasons, they're going to face accelerated aging and early onset Alzheimer's and dementia. It's a scientific fact for the entire community. And so Alzheimer's is one of those diseases that just has no known cure or therapeutic, and it's been kind of stalled in cure and preventative development for decades. And I just thought, well, what can you do, with crypto economic systems to pool people and capital together to really accelerate in this field? And what else could happen beyond that? And so that led us to through multiple iterations, but we came to Cherub's DAO and focusing on brain health broadly, which includes dementia and includes brain injury, includes mental illness, which all kind of share common issues of no known scientific and biological understanding of what causes the condition or even what treats it. And, I think we can bring, we can really disrupt here and democratize how funding happens. In a grassroots way globally, and call attention to this cause and really fund some powerful research and powerful projects, which some may be crypto native and some may just be non-crypto native, that will be impact investments. And so what we've created is a DAO that's funded and governed by NFTs. And it's a perpetual funding model. We auction them off daily. And so we add a member and we add funds to the treasury with each auction. And we make impact investments with the majority of our funds for seeking ROI and into solutions for brain health. And we take a percentage of the proceeds and we make charitable nonprofit grants, but funding primary research in this field. And, so we're seeking to have a multi-decade $30 billion moonshot to accelerate advancements in brain health broadly. And we're doing it through NFTs, which is really awesome. we're just getting started.
I mean, that's incredible. I'm so happy to have you on the show, that you could share this with us. You sound like you have a lot of knowledge and experience and wisdom to share with us today. So that's incredible. And it sounds like you mentioned the word crypto economics. It sounds like that's what you're leveraging. You're leveraging these crypto economics of the NFTs for governance and funding. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were partially inspired by the NounsDAO project, and I don't know if you're familiar with that or anyone else on the panel here is, but it's an NFT funded and governed DAO to really propagate a global brand behind the NFT that they created, which is a noun, which kind of each one is a pixelated version of a person, place, and thing, a really cool artwork.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been tremendously successful selling one NFT a day for about maybe 120 days or so now. And I came across that mechanism as I was thinking about how to use DeFi and NFTs to, you know, fund my mission. And I kind of fused the things together into what's become Cherubs, which is a bit of a derivative of Nouns, but with some different twists to it. So I thought that mechanism was really powerful. For an NFT funded and governed DAO.
I really like this idea of how people can use these, you know, economic models to incentivize people, or, you know, bring a community together to achieve something. And in your specific case, it's quite the noble venture. And I think, you know, if we see a lot more of this in the future, I think it's a great way to showcase that, you know, blockchain technology is and can be used for the betterment of society in general. So it's really cool to start seeing that occur, and, you know, particularly with yours and the what you're trying to achieve there. It's a really cool way to showcase the technology, but also, you know, use the technology to go out there and raise funds for these types of things. So nice work.
Thanks. And we're doing it. So it creates some interesting new twists to this. So rather than, you know, because you could say, well, you can do an impact investment fund as a traditional finance, you know, private equity vehicle or something like that. Those are a little bit more exclusive, and they usually have specific time horizons. With this, we have a perpetually funding system because of the daily auctions. And because the NFT represents membership and governance over that treasury, we don't necessarily have to distribute returns to the NFT. We can reinvest returns and recycle or regenerate the capital. And so I look at it as perpetual and regenerative, which is why I think it could be an enormous long-term vehicle for change. And it's not at the exclusion of returns or profit or liquidity for the people. So it's not purely just about good, because that NFT represents a share in this DAO that has a growing treasury through the returns that are happening and then getting recycled. And so the NFT should grow in value with the size of the DAO treasury. And if somebody needs liquidity, they could sell it and exit their membership, or they can fractionalize it and get some partial liquidity and stay part of the DAO. So there's all sorts of different ways that this can go on in perpetuity without losing members and without having to distribute gains and then starting over with a new fund structure, for example. So I love that perpetual feel about it. And I love that you know, aspect that keeps it open and democratized as well.
Hmm. This is great, because you're speaking a very rich language as you describe these things, and in some way you're answering the first topic, the first question that I was hoping we could touch, which is what is a DAO. There might be some people listening who are just new to NFTs and to crypto in general or whatever. So just for anybody who might need a refresher or is new to this concept, can you just give us a description of a DAO, what it stands for? Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And you've already described it in practice to a pretty good degree, but Could you just give us an overview of that for us from your perspective,
Brian? Absolutely. You know, it's been fun because I, in this line, as we're taking Cherub's DAO out, I'm talking with people that are you know, very native to crypto and NFTs, and I'm also talking with foundations and charitable organizations, research organizations that haven't even touched crypto yet. So how I describe it to them is that we're a cooperative. We're a member owned and governed and funded cooperative. So we're just a membership. The NFT represents a membership in this group of people that decided to, you know, come together. The DAO, decentralized autonomous organization. I think it's decentralized. It's global. It's like a network. And you opt in by buying a membership in it. Your purchase of the membership goes into a treasury, and you have a vote over the treasury. So fundamentally, a DAO is just a community of people with a shared bank account that vote and decide what they're going to do with that shared bank account based on the goals of that community.
That sounds very like there. That sounds like the future to me. When I hear something like that, I think, yeah, that sounds like moving forward.
It's a huge improvement. I mean, there are some people that really are saying that the DAOs, these types of organizations could fundamentally replace what we look at as corporate structures and the joint stock corporation that's been around for hundreds of years now. And you can argue that may be an inefficient structure, which is hierarchical. And you know, these things, no matter how good they are and how big the companies are, you look at corporations, they have a life cycle and they tend to not, you know, last a generation, let alone multiple generations. Very few do. This type of, global, digital, decentralized, you know, mission-oriented organization is more like a network, and it should persist as long as the mission's relevant. And you consistently get refreshed with new talent to join the network, or new nodes if you want to look at it that way. So I'm optimistic it could be a replacement structure. I don't know that it necessarily has to be successful. I don't think it does, but it is, in my mind, I think the modern, the modern company, if you're a digitally native organization, and increasingly you have to be, it seems to me that a DAO structure is going to be a superior way to execute. As opposed to a centralized structure.
The Australian government's actually looking into recognizing a decentralized autonomous organization as a type of corporate structure in the future, which is a really cool development. I think it proves that they're kind of open to this sort of stuff. But I completely agree with what you're saying. Like it's basically a community that, you know, has a stake or a weighted stake in making decisions on behalf of the entire organization. So you're a part of a community that wants to achieve a certain thing in a decentralized fashion. There might be specific people that do specific jobs within that organization, but each member of that community has something that shows their ownership, like was mentioned, and that has a weight when it comes to voting on what is actually going to occur, or where the funds are going to be spent, or where the effort's going to go. So it's that's where the decentralization comes from it, because anybody can, or for most DAOs anyway, anyone can come along and purchase the governance token that represents that membership in the DAO itself. So if you want to be in a specific DAO, you go along and you buy, buy a token that represents being a part of that DAO. And then if you no longer want to be a part of that for whatever reason, then you can then go on sell that to somebody else. So it's purely like a membership and governance token based model that that people can use to represent that, that share in the funds, that representation of your vote to write on what's going to occur in the future and that sort of stuff. So I've seen a lot of DAOs, well, they've been very popular in the DeFi environment, where there is a treasury of funds that the idea is to grow that treasury of funds, and people, the token holder not only get to vote, where the revenue streams are going to go or where they put money towards to gain revenue, but they also get a share of the entire treasury itself. So the more smart they are with where the revenue streams come from or voting on where they're going to put effort, the more they they're rewarded by increasing the value of the treasury. In the CheribDAO case, I guess it's a pretty cool different spin on that, where the treasury, it's more for that noble cause of, you know, research and development, so people can, you know, be a part of that community and really feel like they're, you know, out there achieving and doing better in the world by just being a part of that community and voting on where the funds go.
Yeah, this is basically how the NFTs are building communities of like-minded people who share a mission. And in this case, like you mentioned with CheribDAO, it's towards this hopefully life-saving research and initiative. So Brian, you're building a community using NFTs.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So we went with the NFT route, and there are multiple ways with DAOs. You could issue DAO tokens. The NFT was interesting because it's a visual artifact as well. So it serves almost as a marketing vehicle, and for something with a cause like this, and that you can have sub causes. So you take brain health itself. And then break it down into, you know, dementia and mental health and brain injury and including education as a cause for us as well. You can put different backdrops on it to represent and signify those causes, and you can share it publicly. And so it's a way to have our members market the fact that they're part of this DAO and they're advocating for this cause, and it's important to them. And so it serves as a recruitment emblem as well, and they're pretty fun and cool too. If you go to our playground on the testnet, we think the artwork is quite incredible. So it's the value in the NFT art itself, I think, is certainly there innately, but fundamentally it represents this investment club targeting impact investments and charitable contributions to advance research for brain health. The NFT, where we went with the NFT as well, because we decided on a one token, one vote structure. And rather than having a lot of tokens where the price can fluctuate and people can accumulate, very large positions if they wanted to really influence the DAO, the way you have to do that with CheribDAO is you'd have to buy multiple NFTs to get multiple votes. So it's like an investment fund that way, in that, you know, you have a membership in a fund. You'd buy a portion of the fund, if you will. So with the CheribDAO, the NFT represents a membership and one vote in the governance of it, and an emblem that you can share externally. And the NFT, you know, smart contract allows us to do that, where the NFT, it signifies an exclusive, unique piece of art, digital art that's provable, but it also functions as a token that can represent ownership and membership in the DAO structure, and therefore can be applied to votes and other rights that could be ascribed to a non-fungible token.
I want to take this in two directions. I mean, I'm very curious about just your learning journey and how you've been processing through all of this. But also, I also, you know, you're basically touching on what could be possible using NFTs and tokens, but particularly NFTs and DAOs. What can be possible? And it feels like we're just scratching the surface. And I almost wonder, I don't even know if I have the capacity to go into that imaginative space. Where do you go when you imagine what's possible? Is there something that, like, what might not we have not thought about yet? Do you have any considerations on that?
It's a great question. It's so hard. So there's the term skeuomorphism that is used frequently now, and I forgot who coined it, but it's meant to represent the fact that when you have a new medium, the first projects that come out typically are implementations of the prior medium, right? And so when the internet came out, the first uses of the web were web pages, where you took print media and you just literally printed it to be read on the internet. There are examples with telephony and television, where television came out and it was basically live theater on screen. And until people figured out how to make real movies and entertainment. And so I feel like we're in that phase of crypto right now where, even with DeFi, you're seeing, the very first versions of native applications that are stretching beyond traditional finance applications. And with NFTs, we're starting to see that stretch beyond just a unique piece, a non-fungible piece of digital art. I think the NounsDAO is an example of that. That's created this NFT and turned it into a DAO that's propagating a brand, that they created on their own. Mm-hmm. I come across new projects every day as we're looking for partners and ways to link together. And there's a project out there called Molecule. And they're working on turning intellectual property into NFTs, specifically around scientific research. So it's I'm just in the early phase of learning about it, but I bring it up in this context because it does open up something for Cherub's DAO. So if you think of Cherub's DAO as an impact investment fund that's looking to advance solutions. And research to cure, for cures in brain health. What Molecule is doing is taking intellectual property developed out of primary research and putting it into an NFT, including all the license agreements and everything else. And that turns that research into an investable asset, which you can have provenance over and ownership, and multiple parties can invest in it. And so it creates this avenue for something like Cherub's DAO to have a very simple and natural way to invest in primary research that could ultimately be monetized and generate returns for the DAO because it's encapsulated in this NFT, which can be, not only fractionalized, but sold before it turns into, final solutions. So, I think we're starting to see some really cool, use cases out there. And, it gives me a lot of confidence that we're heading down the right path with Cherub's DAO because I think there are going to be more crypto native things that fit our mission that we're going to be able to invest in.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Again, I wanted a couple of different directions. One of them is firstly, you're showing you're definitely bringing me to what's possible, which is a bit more of an understanding of potentially of these DAO to DAO relationships and DAO to DAO interactions. So that's one direction, which seems very interesting. And then the other one is more of on the human psychological level and why would somebody find it attractive to, become a part fractional owner in a piece of research. That brings me to the psychological aspect. Wow.
Yeah, it's it's interesting. It really is still an experiment, and we have to see where the communities take us. With this canvas that we get to use to paint, So I don't know the answer to that. I do know if you could encapsulate that research, it will, it creates an opportunity. Right now, that research is, required to apply for grants from government institutions or, has to seek charitable donations from nonprofits, which then have to seek donations from donors in exchange for, tax write-offs. Whereas now people could want to advocate for this and could get return expectations. So all it would take is somebody like me that says, well, I need to see some acceleration in brain health research and development. So we hope to have a cure for, Alzheimer's disease, or at least a preventative. And, I might want to invest in a in the entity that's putting money into research, and I can possibly get a return on that. Right. And now that's pretty cool.
Yeah, wow, exactly. You know what? Ultimately, the psychology always comes back to the incentives, it seems like. And now we're coming full circle back to this whole crypto economics, which is really what you're bringing out of this episode, Brian. I'm so happy to be going in this direction. This whole crypto economics is what allows this new way of interacting and providing incentives. And this word that you've introduced to us, the schemorphism, is a great way of considering that. Yeah, we don't know what the technology can offer us, what incentives and what avenues it will offer us as we continue to experiment with it, as you mentioned. So yeah, this idea of crypto economics is fascinating, and then the whole psychology and incentivization of it fascinates me as well.
Yeah, I think we've got a really good implementation of the NFTs and crypto economic systems right now for a great mission with Cherub's DAO. And what's exciting to me and part of the bet that we're making is as we bring members and capital into this and we're able to make investments, is I am betting that the innovation and the move past skeuomorphism into more crypto-native economic systems around accelerating research, whether it's through this IP NFT or something. I just think there are a lot of people out there a lot smarter than me that are going to be innovating these new things, and in Cherub's DAO we're going to be able to make those investments and benefit from being able to invest in those new mechanisms that come out that make it possible. So that's what's exciting to me.
Yes,
to be at the table.
Well, and before Nadella Lika jumps in, I just want to commend you and give you my respect for the leadership that you're showing in this way, Brian, to bring out these tools so that the world can benefit off it. So good for you. Go ahead, Nadella.
Yeah, it's cool to see the transition from native blockchain incentive structures and how they're using block rewards to incentivize miners to then, create nodes in the network and strengthen the network, all the way through to, what we're using now is NFTs on a blockchain that has miners and their incentive structure along the way to see where it's going. And now we're incentivizing the community directly by holding these NFTs and other types of tokens that can be built on the Tockle platform. But it's definitely cool to see how that's changed over even like the last year or two, and how people are starting to really understand how a token can be used and bridge the real world gaps and think about it in different ways that haven't been thought about before. DAOs have been around for a couple of years now, but they've really started to explode because people truly understand the benefits of doing it and how it actually brings a community get together a lot more, because you're all incentivized to, to be together and vote on where the DAO is going and the direction of the DAO and that sort of thing. So, and going back to the using those incentive structures and understanding value within, those types of ecosystems. There was a question from YouTube, a YouTube viewer that says, "What makes an NFT valuable?" And one of the Discord members said shared agreed value. I'd say that's true. And then I'd also say what makes an NFT valuable can be whatever, whatever you think brings it value, but also whatever the creator gives it value. So a lot of the digital artworks, the value comes from owning, like ownership over that digital artwork, just like it would if you really liked painting and you want to put it in your house in exactly the same way. The really cool thing with, digital artwork is that the creator can give it another layer. It doesn't just have to be artwork. You can bring that into a game. They can get written into a game. It can evolve over time. It has these digital characteristics that physical artwork just doesn't have. That's where where the value of those types of things come in, and the value proposition for any type of token can change over time. So it's super interesting, and super interesting to see where people and creators, where the owners of the tokens are actually creating value for the underlying token, by marketing that collection of tokens. There's all sorts of things that not only the creator can do, but the owner can do. And it's interesting to see that evolve over time.
I just love this conversation around, you know, the fact that NFTs are JPEGs that anybody can just copy and save in their computer, and that the NFT is just a receipt, and, you know, people don't even own the image. And, you know, this is just a discussion that's, you know, brewing now on Twitter. And I don't think that people miss the point completely. It just reminds me of the same conversations back in 2000 as to if you should have a website. And so many people were laughing at this and were going like, I'm not going to have a website. You know, websites are for, you know, these weird people that have this and that. And it was so funny. And this is all happening again right now with NFTs.
How many people have taken a picture of the Mona Lisa, do you think?
I mean, back then, if you told Picasso that one of your paintings is going to sell for, you know, 40 million, people are going to die over it, and, you know, everybody's going to be fighting to have it in, you know, in their possession, he would laugh at you and say, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what NFTs are.
This is where NFTs, they lower the minimum investment threshold. So, like, if you think about the investment required to buy real estate or like the Mona Lisa, like perhaps, like it's quite impossible to acquire that much funding for a lot of people. But with tokenization, it can be fractionalized and they can own a small percentage of it.
That's an interesting point that I'll jump on. I did see there was a DAO that was created where members, you know, put funds into a treasury to try and bid on the US Constitution. I'm not sure if anyone else saw that, but that's a good segue for how people, you know, collectively came together as a decentralized autonomous organization to create a treasury for a specific purpose, which was just to buy the US or a copy of the US Constitution.
Yeah, I was about to mention them. It's a really, really great use case. I sent them some money and you got governance tokens in exchange. And even though they failed to buy the constitution, the governance tokens, they skyrocketed because people were putting value then in them as memorabilia of the whole thing, you know. So it's really value in any context is very subjective, you know, human nature, but it's not an objective thing. So people value different things in different ways. So I guess the question that I would put in to anyone asking what value does an NFT have, I would ask what value does an NFT have for you? Because it can, you know, represent and have represent multiple things and have many different utilities.
Yeah, and some of this, you know, it's certainly arbitrary value on the, you know, the art itself. But, you know, to circle back to Kelsey's point on the community and belonging, you know, the communities and the shared values. I mean, it really, there's a lot of power in being with people. And then to pick up, I think, Dream Tim, you had the point on, you know, on the on you know, this is only layer one, which is the art itself, but a lot of other functionality and features can be added to these NFTs. I mean, as you see with us, you know, it's a governance vote over the DAO and a few other things that you can do with that NFT. But we, you know, there are other things that can be layered in that will add value in being part of that community. I mean, it could get you into networking events, it could get you into private clubs. You know, and there's a lot of things we haven't imagined yet. You know, if you look in the offline world, the amount of money people will spend on golf memberships at certain golf clubs is, you know, is absurd compared to, you know, the quality of the course itself and being able to play golf. But it's to be part of that club that they can go to. And it's a community of people that they share, you know, values with and want to be around. So there's, you know, value, you know, is subjective in many ways, but there are so many ways to extract value out of NFTs, and I think many more than we've ever seen before with other mechanisms in the, you know, in the offline world. And, you know, it does, Dream Tim, remind me of the early days of the internet in terms of people's thinking about this. And you mentioned image ownership, and I'll call attention to, you know, you see my profile, I've got the Cryptode NFT, and they were the first one, I think, to put out an NFT under Creative Commons license. So, you know, nobody owns that.
You mean from crypto.com? From crypto.com?
No, Cryptodes. It was a project by the artist Gremlin. So Cryptodes at Cryptodes NFT, I think, is the handle on Twitter. But it's pixelated art, but he put out his artwork under Creative Commons license with the idea that you know, anybody can take and propagate and do things with that. And NounsDAO did as well. And their thesis on it was, you know, look, take the noun, copy it, create merchandise, sell merchandise. Everything that you're doing that's promoting the NFT is adding value to that, you know, NFT, even though the person doesn't necessarily own the art for that, but they own the NFT. That's and so if it becomes a brand, you just empowered a community of people for free to make money off of and propagate your brand. I think it's brilliant. So the image ownership doesn't even matter that much. As what matters is the fact that you can demonstrate that you own the original issuance of that, and that's what cryptography does with the actual NFT and smart contract.
If people are taking pictures of it and, you know, sending it around the internet and have plushies of it or have pictures in their like homes of it, like exactly like you're saying, it just drives value to the original ownership that you can prove that you hold. So
you can prove.
Yeah, it's funny.
I think it's free marketing. But the last argument on Twitter was that essentially some people are taking the NFT, going because, you know, Twitter enabled NFTs to be displayed as your avatar now. So what some people have been doing is they've been taking these ultra expensive NFTs, they go to OpenSea, they mint them, and then they, you know, they display them as their own, you know, pretending for that to be the original. But again, you know, the underlying technology means that it can be proven if that's the original or not, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
And let's not forget that Twitter just introduced this feature that could very well change it to start, you know, displaying only exclusive collections or something else.
They will. There'll be a way to verify that.
Yeah. Well, so this is all amazing. And I'm going to just rope us in and swing us around to talk a bit more about the technology that you're mentioning. You talked about websites and early days of websites. Now you just talked about smart contracts. And so basically the question that I'm wondering is, what are some of the challenges of the current technology? And for example, what are some trade-offs when using different protocols or chains? For example, we have Tokel platform that can mint NFTs, and there is the Ethereum chain, and people are using Solana. And so what are some challenges currently with the technology, and what are some trade-offs of using different protocols?
Well, I can start with our direct experience. So we've we built Cherub's DAO on Ethereum, and my goal for this, since we're auctioning these daily and we want this to live in perpetuity, was I wanted the art to be on-chain art. And so when we create the art and the smart contract, we need to publish all of our art elements. So the way the cherubs are created is we've got multiple attributes, and for each auction, they're minted on a block hash, and we use that hash to randomly assemble from the elements the cherub. And so we need all the elements on chain when we create the smart contract and start the Cherub's DAO. And then each minting is just the normal minting process. So putting all of that on chain on Ethereum is quite expensive. So there's a one-time cost to us that is, you know, quite prohibitive for most projects, or even just doesn't make sense. And then you know, for each auction, we would be you know, facing relatively high gas costs to mint each. So we've made a decision to migrate over for launch to the Polygon proof of stake chain, which has established some traction on NFTs, and did that because we were already you know, built on Ethereum. So it was a pretty easy migration. And they still check to Ethereum, but really the gas costs were the barrier for us there to have the on-chain art initially, and even for daily minting, if you want to make it, you know, truly accessible to a broader array of people. The other consideration I have is just, you know, the durability of the chain. So when you have the NFTs, you want to make sure that wherever you're minting the NFTs, I think you definitely want to make sure that you've got confidence in the underlying chain to exist for a long period of time, so that your NFT is available. So I think there are a lot of good options out there. That's just where we started. We just happened to be Ethereum people, and it was a natural move to go to Polygon for the lower fees, because most, you know, all the code was already written, and we were looking for a smooth transition to a lower cost tier to be able to operate on.
That's fascinating to hear that experience. Yeah, for sure. Thank you. And that kind of brings me around to the other point I was curious about for a DAO. I guess considering that it's a community or a shared organization, shared mission, in a decentralized and autonomous way, is it possible to be chain agnostic, to be spread over different protocols, or is the community bound to a specific protocol? Or maybe there are trade-offs with that. Can you just speak to that one a bit?
Yeah, I can. It's I think it's early to say right now that, you know, launching a DAO, it's important to get traction and to build an early community. So I think you want to focus in on one chain and not create a lot of complexity of trying to bridge cross chains. But longer term, certainly on the decentralized app side, I think it makes sense for apps, you know, to build almost like app chains, if you will, so that they can be they can run their application cross chain. I think, you know, from a financial side, liquidity is a lot more fungible and portable, so the multi-chain environment works. NFTs will have to see. You know, community building, I think you got to be focused in one community and make it as simple as possible to onboard and get to, you know, some level of breakout velocity with your community. Once you have a sizable community and activity and norms and governance established, then it's going to be natural. I want Cherub's DAO to be global. So if that means I need to access communities that operate on other chains longer term, I would certainly, you know, advocate for that within our DAO. It'll be up to the DAO, of course, to do that. So, but to your question earlier, it's just in terms of the, you know, getting started, I think you got to bootstrap and be very focused in one community and reduce complexity and make it as simple as possible for your community to onboard and for them to onboard other people and get traction, so you have some sustainability to your network. But once the network's sustainable, then you want global coverage, and that may mean multiple chains.
That's fascinating.
I guess if you look at it like you know, even a business or whatever you want to call it, trying to expand globally, you have to go to different countries that speak different languages and have different access, have different rules associated with it, and that sort of thing. That's kind of how I see that. And those, you know, obviously they're difficult problems to overcome, but something that like a lot of people are trying to smooth the barrier, because it is the digital world. But you know, the technology is quite different and speaks different languages. I guess if we can put it that way.
Yeah, that's a great mental model. I think for that problem case. You know, and you know, you mentioned the adoption issue too. You know, bridging cross chains. I mean, it's hard enough. I think if you're trying to get new, you know, audience on, like for me, certainly reaching out. I've certainly, you know, reached out to some communities that, you know, this will be their first foray into crypto, and I'm explaining NFTs and crypto to them. And you know, the first barrier I have to get them over is, you know, just getting a wallet and getting some crypto assets to be able to bid on these damn things. let alone, you know, explaining what a bridge is and how to go cross chain and what different chains are. So, you know, it is kind of one step at a time, but I do like that, you know, multiple markets, multiple countries, multiple languages. It's a very good metaphor.
Yeah, Tim's always a big proponent of making, you know, when we're discussing Tockle developments and what we're going to be doing and how we're going to be doing it, like a big proponent of just make it as simple as possible. And that's definitely one of our values is like all of Tockle developments, we're trying to increase the ease of use and the ease of access. So give everybody out like everywhere access to what we're creating and to the underlying blockchain technology, and then make it as easy as possible. So I was showing someone through a token creation using our decentralized application yesterday, actually. And at the end of it, they were like, oh, wow, this is actually really easy, is the comment they made. And I was like, yeah, it's hard for me to sit here and explain how easy it is to create a token using our decentralized application. But until you run our dApp and actually do it yourself, people don't realize. So for anyone listening out there, like, definitely recommend just downloading the application from our website and just giving it a crack, because it is ridiculously easy. And then you'll start to realize, like, hey, I can go and create NFTs, or I can go and create a fungible token and do this thing that I've always wanted to try and do. Yes, you've got, you know, a lot of work in the background to try and, you know, build value for that NFT or token, but in order to do it using the Tockle platform is incredibly easy.
Yeah, it's easy to lose sight. It's easy to lose sight of how early we are in this overall space. When you look at Bitcoin prices, Ether prices, and, you know, and the floor prices on Apes and Punks, and say, oh, I missed the boat on this. But you look at how difficult this is still to use, and the opportunity just to create you know, easy to use on ramps, easy to use applications, and make this accessible to a broader audience. I mean, we're not. Global internet has billions of people on it, and crypto is, you know, in the tens of millions to 100 million or so. So there's a long way to go to get the mainstream on, and a lot of innovation and you know, opportunity for innovation and in new platforms and new protocols and making them easier to use and much more accessible. So we're so yeah. early and so much opportunity. It's hard to, you know, you ask the question of chains and which ones, and it's hard to say that, you know, many or any of these really are inevitably going to stick around forever if they don't solve those problems.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this a lot in Tockle Talk, but understanding the differences and, you know, and on the Tockle Talk specifically, talking about the different chains and everything like that is something that we try to do, because we want to understand what people are, you know, what people want, how they're using it, you know, what competitors are doing, such that we can make a better, you know, better ecosystem and provide different options for different people. But anyhow, there is a question from a user on YouTube here that says, will there be a token DAO for the Tockle platform? So I'd suggest that the Tockle team isn't specifically going to create a token, a DAO, but anybody has the option to use the Tockle platform, create tokens to underwrite the, you know, the governance of the DAO, or to show ownership over the DAO. I am interested in having a look at how we can streamline the DAO process and make it easier for people to, you know, decide to use a DAO on the Tockle platform, because I know other ecosystems have, you know, easy offerings because other people have done it in the past, where they can come along and, you know, copy and paste what other people have done and change it to suit their needs, which makes it, you know, bootstrapping a DAO much easier. So I'm definitely interested in that space.
Good. So yeah, thanks for all the questions on the YouTube, and thanks for everybody who's listening. We are nearing towards the end, but this has been such a rich discussion. I actually don't want it to end yet. Brian, you bring a lot of insight and wisdom to the show, to the discussion, a lot of experience as well. And clearly, you know, you've been pushing forward in a successful way so far. And I'm definitely wishing you a lot of success, continued success going forward. You did mention a little bit about getting started with a DAO. And so I would just like you, if possible, for you to reiterate, if you were to keep some key things in mind for anybody who is listening and is interested to start a DAO for a mission or a cause that they find of value that others would like to also join, what would you say for them? What should they consider?
Yeah, we're early in our development, so I probably have lessons still to be learned, but I think having a clear having a clear mission or a reason for existence, a purpose, you know, clearly articulated for the DAO. Why do you want to exist? What are you here to achieve? I think is absolutely important. You know, early community building is really important. So reaching out and getting some advocates on board, and you know, being patient to make sure you're building an authentic community from scratch, as opposed to trying to incentivize a large community of people that may not necessarily care and won't stick around very long. That's critical. And then think about your DAO mechanism. So it ties to your mission. You know, are you going to, you know, should you have a token? Should you use an NFT? How is voting going to work? You know, what type of governance models do you want to have? You know, what type of rights do you want to give to your DAO members through their tokens? All those things are important to think through. And you know, those decisions, I think, tie together with the mission. But the community is everything. So really, you know, the mission will attract your community, but what you do to build that community and how you do it, I think it's important to do it in an authentic way, so you attract the right people and the right advocates, you know, and form the core. For me, I think the core of the early DAO is what sets it on its course to success or, you know, to challenges. And I think we've seen some examples of both in the crypto world.
Wonderful. I really thank you for coming on today, and you're definitely welcome back anytime. Is there anything, so if anybody wants to find out more about Cherub's DAO and how to participate, where can they go to do that?
Well, they can easily find us on Twitter. So our handle's at Cherub's DAO, so CHERUBSDAO. From there, we've got a link tree, which would take you to our Discord. Our website's cherubsdao.com. We're running a testnet right now at testnet.cherubsdao.com. And both the website and the testnet have links to our Discord, Twitter, and other handles.
Excellent. And I think just the mission that you're on is, as Nutella called it earlier, it's definitely a noble mission. And I'm just so pleased that we got a chance to listen to you today. And is there anything else you'd like to say before we head off? We definitely appreciate having you around today.
No, the only other thing I'll point people to is you mentioned a venture studio. So you know, this is our first project. We're gonna have other complements to this project, assuming we get this one off successfully. So Cherubim Labs, you can find as well, and start reading a little bit about our mission. I'm starting to write about it on our blog at cherubimlabs.com. So check that out. But no, I really appreciate this, Giuliano, and the Tokel Talk community. It's been a fantastic conversation. I love this topic, and would love to come back and keep discussing it as we see new innovations proceed in this space, and as Cherub's DAO learns more as well. I really enjoyed the content and the ideas that came out of it.
Thank you. Us too. And we are blessed to have you today. We're just going to close out the show. But before that, we have a little bit of news update about Tokel. Nutella Lika, did you want to share anything with us?
Have nothing specific at the moment. I guess we are about to conduct another dApp release in the coming weeks here. So we'll have a couple of bug fixes in that update, and that will incorporate the login feature, so people will be able to log into their specific address and save it as a username and password, basically, to be able to log in, so they don't have to input their private key or their seed phrase every time. So that's a pretty big update from us. And then we've also got the designs of the marketplace. We've started them. So as I've kind of mentioned in a couple of other forums, our aim is to have the dApp feature complete in accordance with the white paper by mid-year. So that's the goal for the team at the moment. And that's what we've got our eyes on the prize, is to get that marketplace out there to really enable people to start, you know, interacting with others and selling selling their tokens and NFTs utilizing the Tockle on-chain decentralized exchange mechanism. So, Tim, did you have any other additions to that?
Yeah, there's a couple of things going on, but one of the most impressive ones for me at the moment is the enthusiasm and the talent that we see from various people that are now planning to launch their collections on the Tockle platform as soon as, you know, the DEX is on. So we have seen now collections coming up almost every week from different artists. And also quite excitingly, we're talking to quite a few people in different parts of the world, and especially people who are involved in art, but they haven't been able to find a way to digitalize their art at all or to even show it to many people. So we have found a few people in Morocco, especially a lady that does some really amazing paintings, and she has created one specifically for Tockle, but also she will be digitizing a lot of her other art. We're talking potentially to institutions such as orphanages to get, you know, paintings from children that are there, and then to share the proceeds with those institutions and to publicize them as NFTs. So I think that what we are trying to do now for the launch of the Tockle platform is do something special, you know, make NFTs accessible and reachable to parts of the world that couldn't have been involved before because of the costs or any other prohibitive things. So we're going to be providing education to these people and onboarding them to the token economy, which is the archetypal, I guess, you know, mission of Tockle.
Apologies, I did have just one addition. On the back of that, we do have the hard fork planned for the 24th of Feb. So any full knowns, please update. Sorry to chuck that on the end there, Tim. I think you've definitely summarized what we're trying to achieve here in terms of, you know, holistic picture of giving people easy access and making it super easy to use in general.
Perfect. Well, thanks both of you, Nutella and Dream Tim, for being here as usual. And Lenny, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. It was a really nice conversation and getting to know Brian and Troops DAO. So glad to be here.
Perfect. And you too, Kelsey, thanks as well for joining as usual.
Of course. And thank you for hosting as usual. And thank you, Brian, for coming on. We really appreciated what you had to say.
Awesome. Thank you.
Right on. Once again, thank you, Brian, the founder, CEO of Cherubim Labs and working on the Cherubs DAO. So take a look for more of that. And until next time, if you want to be a guest, a future guest on the show, don't hesitate to reach out. We are setting up an application form on the website, tockle.io/tockletalk. So yeah, please reach out there or join the Discord, especially if you have any feedback or just want to join as part of the community, join the Discord. And next time we're going to join us again for the next conversation. Of course, we'll be talking more about metaverses, and that's going to be happening on the 8th of February. Well, Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks again, mate. It was really good.
All right.
Awesome. And yeah, keep in Fantastic. Touch and everyone else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good. We'll be back for more quite soon. Until next time, goodbye.